Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
And that camera, it almost looks like it's on.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We're trying to work through some technical difficulties here, but God is good. Amen. Today, we want to continue on where we've been teaching at and where the Lord has led us to, and we want you to join in with us, and let's see what God is saying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But before we go any further, I'm going to have Prophetess Crystal to give us our prayer and our announcements for this morning.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. In this morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Yes.
Excuse me. I'm stuck today. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is also our website, so we do invite you there as well. Take some time to get to know more about us and about the ministries, amen, that we cover. And we do pray and ask that you will become a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. If any of you would like personal information concerning the church, or if you would want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, any prayer requests, we do ask that as you're on our website, once again, www.ctkr.org, that you will go to the Contact Us tab, click on that, follow the instructions, and someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know as well that we do have a Facebook page. Please find us and locate us at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Those are the announcements for this morning. And now let us look into prayer, go to prayer, and then we will get right into the Word of God. Let's pray, people of God. Father, right now, we thank you and we bless you. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for your mercies, your protection, and your grace. Father, as we come into this place now to receive of your word, we humble ourselves at your feet this morning, God. Father, we ask for forgiveness for all sins, every sin of omission and commission. Father, we ask that you will wash us in your blood this morning. Cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness and wash us white as snow. Use the word, God, to locate us right where we are, Father, so that we may be free, that we may be cleansed in your blood, that we may be whole again, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now as the word goes forth, we ask that this word would shape us and shift us, God. Shift our thoughts, shift our hearts, shift our consciousness, Father. Shift our speech in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would cover the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give him what to say for this moment, Father, to be able to speak to the lives and to the nations in Jesus' name. We give your name all praise, glory, and honor. We thank you now. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer, that dynamic prayer. We want to get into the word today. Those of you who have your Bibles, I'll ask that you would turn, if you would, in the scriptures. Amen. We try a different setup this morning. Amen. So that we might be able to better do what we normally are doing. And that means that I have to adjust a few things. Amen. But God is good. We're going in the Word to deal with where we were. And my question is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? We have been saying this. We have been asking this. And I think too often when we talk about this, people forget that there's places where we have been. There are things that we have talked about. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But God is faithful. Amen.
Amen.
God is true. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we know that he has given us assignments. We know that he has given us a way out, amen, if you will. And it's our job now to do the work that he's given us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give me a second. Let me get this all together and we'll be all right. Amen. There we go. All right. All right. Let's go to Luke, the 24th chapter. Let's start about the 36th verse. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Have to remind, you know, to change this back after you get done so that I can be where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 24, starting at the 36th verse, says, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened. Everybody said terrified and frightened.
Terrified and frightened.
One of the main things that you have to understand is whenever there's an encounter with God, he never comes to make you fearful. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, amen, mm-hmm. of power, amen, sound mind. We know these things. That's what he brings. So whenever you are having an experience and it doesn't bring you power, love or soundness of mind, then we know that that's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And when they were dealing with this situation, when they were there, Jesus stood in the midst and he calmed their fears instantly. We see it with Mary. Amen.
Right.
Gabriel comes, and as soon as he's going to speak, the first thing he says is, do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We see this whenever there's an interaction or a theophany, if you will. Theophany is a physical manifestation of God or his representation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
So when we have a theophany, an angel appearing or something like that, the first thing they do is they bring peace. Amen.
Yes.
So the first thing he said is peace to you. But the word but says, regardless of what he said, their hearts and their minds were someplace other than peace. Amen.
Yeah.
It says, but they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled?
Yes.
Huh? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food? Amen. I'm gonna stop right there. And I just want you to understand a few things. First of all, when God is dealing with us, sometimes God has to take us all the way back. Amen. And taking us all the way back, what he is doing is he is bringing us full circle, amen.
Mm.
There's some things that have happened in our life that have caused us concern, some things in our life that has caused us to doubt God's word and God's will for our life. And the enemy loves stuff like that, amen.
Sure.
Because what he does is he comes in and he tries to make it a doubtful situation. Notice every time that God speaks to you, he speaks to you and tells you about your greatness.
True.
But everybody and everything around you tells you about your flaws, your shortcomings,
mm-hmm.
your deficiencies. Nothing there is for your greatness. So whenever God says, you shall be, the enemy comes and sends the word that says, you can't be.
True.
Amen?
True.
Here they are. They're handling Jesus. And I like that word there. Jesus said, handle me and see. Because when he was alive and walking with them, you notice that one of the main things that he was doing constantly was allowing them to touch him and handle him. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
They had to go back to something familiar so that they could get something that they knew. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with us. When we're dealing with this and we're dealing with God and asking him to help us sometimes God takes us back to something familiar.
Yes.
You understand what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Something that you knew before, something that was comfortable to you. Now, never get it confused when he takes you back to a comfortable place or to a familiar place. He's not bringing you back for you to stay.
Mm.
All right? What God is doing is God is bringing you back so you can get your bearings. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we go back and we see that God has brought us so far. Anybody ever had that happen? Go to a place where you've been before, and when you get there, you notice how far down the road you have progressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like, this is where everything happened, but nothing here fits me now.
True.
Amen? I have that whenever I go back. Amen? And visit. I go back and I visit and I see everybody and see everything. But the more that I visit and see people, the more I realize that that was my then.
Yes.
But this is my now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And when you have those opportunities, then you can actually celebrate where God has brought you from. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking myself. But has God brought anybody anywhere?
Amen.
Has anybody progressed anywhere?
Yes. Yes.
Has God taken you to anything? I mean, have you gone on?
Yes.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to understand that the job that God gives us in takes us down the road. Amen.
Yes.
Hmm? Allows us to see him as he is, but remind us where we come from. Amen. You never get to a place where you have arrived. And I'm a little leery of people who are just so great, grand, and wonderful that they have arrived. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you haven't arrived either.
You haven't arrived either.
Oh, we might as well be honest about it, because the enemy keeps trying to make people think that, you know, at this point, this moment in time, I actually made it. No, you haven't made it. Amen. And the more that you try to prove that you made it, the more we see that you got a long way to go. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at it. They were afraid. They trembled. They were fearful. Everything about them was opposite of what faith is. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you look at where you're going and what you need to do and how God has brought you and what he's told you, you have to understand that after everything is said and done, fear is the opposite of faith. Amen?
Right.
Look at your neighbor and say, you can't fear nothing.
You can't fear nothing.
Say it again. You can't fear nothing.
You can't fear nothing.
And the more that you try to tell yourself, I'm not going to be fearful, the more the enemy tries to make you fearful.
Mm.
It is his trick. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that if he can get you to be afraid, you can't stand up and say anything to him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at this. Amen. Jesus said to them, you know, that he said, why are you fearful and why are you afraid? Frightened and why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible lets us know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we begin to talk about this, we have to ask the questions, what's in your heart?
Hmm.
Just look at your neighbor and ask them that question. What's in your heart?
What's in your heart?
I'm going to ask them that again. What's in your heart?
What is really in your heart?
I mean, you got to come to grips with this question, but more so the answer. Because a lot of times what ends up happening, talk to God and we ask him things, and God speaks to us and tells us certain things, but in our heart we've already designed the answer that we want. Isn't it interesting that God will call you to do something that you feel you are ill-equipped to do?
True.
I know that's right. I tell you, and I said it before, I'll say it again, I want to be a musician only. I did not want any of the rest of it. I just want to be a musician. And I found that the more I tried to just be a musician, the more God said, but I say it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how it goes?
True.
You know, Lord, I want to be used by you. I just want to be a worshiper. He said, I want you to worship me, but I want you to proclaim too. I'm just going to sing. Wait a minute, hold on. You know, you find out the more you try to sing, the more you get a unction in your spirit. You can't get a song out for telling the people how good God is. You know, every time you think that you're going to just go, come up here, I'm just going to sing. But let me just tell you before that, and you end up preaching 15, 20 minute sermon trying to get to a song. Oh, it is what it is. No matter where you go, there you are. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever God has called you to, you'll find that you do it often over and over again. Amen. I was sharing with someone just a little bit ago. I say, when you go back and you look in your life, you'll see that what God called you to is what you've always been doing all the way up to this point. And they started thinking, they said, you know, I've always had the ability to pull people to me and to encourage them and speak into their lives. I said, yeah. I said, you can see that even in high school and everything else. They said, yeah, everybody always came to me and was talking to me, and they was always in my ear, and I was always the go-to person. I said, why would God give you that type of influence?
Mm-hmm.
Was it so that you could just realize that you were a good person to talk to? Or was there a greater call? See, all these things cultivate us. You know, in order to minister this gospel, I need to be able to hear what the needs are first. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Worst thing in the world is to hear a message that has nothing to do with you, because it doesn't touch anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We have been some places where people, the power guys come in and they want to make sure that we knew that they got their notes together. So here they go trying to preach a message that the Holy Ghost already did the work for.
Yeah.
You can't out-preach the Holy Ghost.
Mm-mm.
Amen. You know, and no matter what you did here, once the Holy Ghost has said amen, you can stand up and talk as much as you want, and all you're going to do is make a bunch of noise. Amen?
Amen.
And it sounds just like that. People sitting there, and they saying, God! And people saying, yes, God. Why are they checking their watches? When the Holy Spirit is really there, nobody has time to look like this, because we're all looking like this.
Right.
Or we're all on the floor or whatever we're doing. We're running in and just celebrating. Nobody has time to stop for this.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And we know the difference. You can feel it shift in the atmosphere when it's just you and when it's really the Holy Spirit in control. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But when there's people who are just out there, they make a bunch of noise. It ain't the good kind of noise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's the I wish you would sit down, shut up noise.
Oh.
Wait a minute, what's the word? I wish you sat down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That I wish you sat down noise. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know that's right. Look at this. Look at this. Because I want us to get to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your heart? And as I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, right here in this 38th verse, we begin to see the battlefield
mm-hmm.
of your faith. Amen.
All right.
Put your hand on yourself. Say it's in the mind.
In the mind.
Amen. And I'm going to hang my hat here for just a moment, because we really need to understand that if the devil can trick you out, deceive you, if he can get you to change your perception on certain matters, then he can change where your faith is directed.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm.
See, your words tell where your faith is. They speak very clearly what you believe and why you believe it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
You need to go over here and you need to do, I'm not going over there because, you see that because right there begins the explanation of why you're not going over there. And when you begin to look at all these things and put them together, then you see how the enemy can change your perception. We talk about Eve, amen, and how Eve had a conversation with the serpent. And the whole point of that conversation was to change her perception. In her mind, God did not change who he was.
Right.
You notice this?
Mm-hmm.
God did not change his position. He did not come down any. He did not cease to be the creator. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
What happened was her perception of who she was and how she saw him changed. It led her into actions that took her from where she had firm setting and a stable foundation to no foundation, no stand. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
She fell. Mm-hmm. And when she fell, Adam fell after her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doubt causes us to reevaluate things. But number two, doubt causes us to listen to another reasoning voice. Amen?
All right.
So Here the disciples knew everything that Jesus had done. He had told them, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Here's 3 days, he's standing before them, and they're frightened. He said, no, it's all right, peace. But the Bible says that there's still doubt in their hearts and in their mind. They're troubled in their spirit. Jesus said, why are you troubled? It's me. You know, we talked, and we talked the previous week. Y'all need to get this in the archives so that you can actually see it. But the thing is that Mary, after the disciples left, Mary stays at the tomb.
Right.
She decides that I need to have a come to Jesus moment now. You said, and you told me, and you preached to us, and where are you? See, I'm going to say this, and I know that there's a lot of females around, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It's always a female that can challenge your manhood. Am I right? They ask the right question at the wrong time. Amen. Yeah, y'all smiling and everything. I hear you laughing, Prophetess. I just want to know. Let me tell you. Let me show you how this works. We was at a conference. I was doing a conference, and everybody else is members of this organization, and my wife just came along for moral support. And I said, anybody have any questions? Nobody from the organization have any questions. Hand goes up at the back. Whose was it? Prophetess. And she didn't ask a question. She asked a series of questions that the people need to know. I said, the people need to know. Maybe they need to ask, okay? Since you threw me under the bus, let me answer them, but we get to ride home later. Amen? Women have a way of challenging who you said you are. Don't tell me you a man and then can't show up as one. Amen? Do I get an amen anywhere?
Amen.
Amen? So when we have Mary here at the tomb, Mary's weeping at the tomb. And part of that is we have believed the words that you said. You preached to us. You have encouraged us. Our faith has gone to other levels. And now here you are, dead. Where are you? Where's the body at? I can't have closure. And isn't it interesting that in relationships, the first thing the female looks for, I can talk for males because we ain't looking for closure. Amen. Okay, that's done. Okay, hey, what's your name? That's where we are. But females like, I need to know why this happened. I need to know what's going on. I need to, you know, put this to rest. I need closure. And until y'all get closure, you ain't going nowhere. Mary did not leave that tomb. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
While she's at that tomb, the angels speak to her. She turns around, thinks she's talking to a gardener. It wasn't a gardener. It was Jesus.
Yeah.
And in one word, her whole life changed. It was at the point where she turned around and she said, just tell me where you laid him and I will go to him. And he said, Mary. Instantly, her eyes were open. Her perception shifted. She saw the Lord and the Savior. And she said, Rabboni.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's in situations like that. You can have a change of perception. It is the devil's job to change your perception.
Yes.
She's sitting there crying until she got a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And they left the tomb pondering. Here's Jesus in their midst, and the first thing they're doing is doubting and fearful. Y'all see that?
I do.
See, that's why there's people talk about, I've been with this person, I've been following them, I've been in the ministry. It don't make a difference. There's people who walk in off the street, never heard not one word, that will have a greater impact in the kingdom because they came in looking and you came in and got complacent. Amen. You came in and sat down, and they came in to see what they could do. So you looking at the walls, the same walls that need to be taken care of. You ain't doing nothing with that. And they look at the walls and see, you know, somebody need to get up there, and somebody need to, and we need to do, ain't this God's house? And they come in, and they say, Pastor, can we? And they start doing stuff. And what's the first thing everybody say? They doing too much. Mm-hmm. No, they not doing too much. You didn't do enough. Amen.
Amen.
We got to get back to having that love for the house of God. That's another message, amen, because we got to stay right here, don't we? Amen. But think about it. When we're talking about who God is, we're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about the glory of God. The first thing we have to do is we have to see that if I have a calling, I have a word from God, then I cannot have doubt in my heart.
Right.
Mm. Fear cannot exist.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible for me to say that this is God and this is his doing and it's marvelous in my eyes and then doubt and be fearful of everything he's doing. Isn't that a little crazy?
Yeah.
Now look at this. Because I told you what Jesus did was he had to bring them back to their past. Peter, fisherman. Couple of other ones, you know, doing their jobs. That's what they did. When Jesus said in the 38th verse, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? He was telling them, you have to fight in your mind. The faith that you need needs to come back forward. You believe before, believe again. Amen.
Yeah.
The popular song out right now, if he did it before, he can do it again. Same God back then, same God now. You know, same God now, same God back then. I don't know how the words go, but that's the message, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you had your first encounter with him and you felt that presence of God, that presence didn't go anywhere.
Mm-mm.
What we should be doing is striving to have that presence over and over and greater and deeper, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing that, then you're just going through the motions of Christianity. There's no development.
Mm.
And if there's no development, then you can never fulfill who called you. You can never fulfill your assignment, amen?
Amen.
You stick around us long enough, you keep hearing these words, assignment. Amen. Because God calls us for certain times. I thank God for Mother Estella Boyd, the late Mother Estella Boyd, because she always reminded us that there are souls that we can't reach. That's because it's your assignment. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have voice in their ears, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have influence over them, but you do. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it is your testimony. It's your word. It's what you're doing that causes them to hear the voice of the Lord and become believers. I can stand up and preach and put on the greatest programs and everything else, and they still can't hear nothing from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I'm up here doing all of this, they're looking at you in a seat like this. And when you say amen, they go, amen. And it starts, you see what I'm saying? It starts to get inside. It is your voice. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a job to do.
You got a job to do.
Come on, say it again. You got a job to do.
You got a job to do.
Oh, yeah. So you can't have doubts in your heart, fears in your mind. And fear simply is false evidence appearing real. You see that? It's an acronym, false evidence appearing real. And while you're looking at fear, you think that what you're seeing is really there. It causes you to respond to something that is not even there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Why'd you jump? I thought. I talk about someone in the room right now, amen, who likes to drive on a passenger side of the car. No matter what's going on, they will drive on a passenger side of the car. Amen. See, and the reason why they drive on the passenger side of the car, simply put, is because they said, I'm not in control. But when they're in control and I'm on the passenger side of the car, I'm looking and I'm trying to drive too, because I see, whoo, Jesus, some stuff.
And they was like, I never, why'd you say that? How'd you get stuck right here? I did, that car, I'm like, you didn't look over there and see? Now, when I'm driving, I'm seeing all that and just adjusting for it. And to them, they never saw it. So I never understood, you know, how you can have an imaginary brake that you keep pressing 2-3 times to see if it worked. Because it didn't work the first time, it ain't going to work the second time. There's no gas pedal. Amen. Huh? And there's no brake pedal. There's no steering wheel. And let me talk to you people out there right now, those of you who like to drive other people's car. Speed up. Move over. Get out that lane. Let those people alone. You can't do nothing with their car. All you can do is control your steering wheel, your brake, your gas pedal. You see that? Control what comes in your mirrors. Know what's around you and adjust. See, isn't that how the devil gets us to move and do stuff? Oh, they was coming up. There was no place near you. I think Prophetess and I was traveling on the highway, and I showed her one time. We sat behind in the center lane. There was trucks on this side, and there was a car over here. And I said, we were far back enough where I said, look and tell me how close that truck is. She's like, there's plenty of room. I was like, yeah. And as we kept driving, we came up next to the truck. I said, now look over at the truck. She looked at the truck like this. I said, it's the same amount of room that you saw back there. Mm-hmm. But here it appears real. Y'all see what I'm saying? That's how the enemy tricks you. The Bible says, in a time of trouble, he shall hide me. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. In other words, when there's trouble coming, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you need to move. And the Lord provides for a sanctuary, hides us. Y'all understand? And as he's hiding us, what happens is the devil tries to send out things to find out where you are. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. As long as you are silent, I'm resting in him, the devil can't find you. It's when you start sounding off your mouth that he can pinpoint and triangulate where you are and try to send something after you. Y'all understand that? Mm-hmm. Y'all ever seen one of those scary movies or things like that where somebody's running and the first thing they do is when they get away from whoever the person is, they do like this. Why are they covering their mouth? Because a sound can kill you. Y'all understand?
Yeah.
Y'all see that?
I do.
So the enemy then has to work in deception, trying to get you to let him know where you are. You see that? So when he begins to talk here, he said, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your heart? Because out of your heart, your mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. Now I know where you are. Now I know where to test and try you to help you to fall. Y'all see this?
Yep.
Isn't he sneaky?
Yep.
Because you thought I was just, you know, let somebody know what I felt. Uh-huh. Sometimes we need to keep our feelings to ourselves.
Amen.
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 People do stuff around you and nobody knows if it worked until you start letting them know how effective it was.
Yeah.
That really hurt me. Oh, that worked. Come on, we got to put the rest of this plan in there. Because he don't know. He is not all-knowing. Yeah. Y'all know that?
Mm-hmm.
So since he don't know everything, he tries what he can to get what he can get.
True.
And we sit around and tell him everything. Look at your neighbor and say, I must tell Jesus.
I must tell Jesus.
And him only.
And him only.
He has a way of taking your prayers and hiding them. He encrypts it, if you will. The Bible says in Romans the 8th chapter, says we don't know what we should ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. When he's interceding for us, what he's doing is changing our basic words into the language that needs to be heard in heaven that
right.
The devil can't interpret.
Mm-hmm.
All they know, all the demons know, all the devil knows is that prayers are going up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know nothing except for things are starting to happen. And when the word comes back, rebuke, decree, declare, then you start saying, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. He's like, oh my goodness, why's he doing that? He didn't hear the prayer come up, but he heard the movement in the atmosphere. He knew something was on the way. And when you spoke rebuke in the name of Jesus, he knew it was time to go. Loose your hold in the name of Jesus. He knew whatever he was holding, he has to let that go. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Things he's released, you need to take it back. Come on back. See, we talk about rebuking and loosing, but you know there's some things that have been released that the devil got to take back. He released sickness. I send you back where you came from. You know those prayers that we used to pray back in the day before we got all prettified. Prettified, yeah, I said it. Huh? You know, Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. We bind the works of the enemy and everything. You cease and desist. We decree and declare. You know, all those words, they still work. Amen. When we pray and ask the Lord to cover us in his blood and put a hedge of protection around us, still works.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We got to get back to this. See, now when that is what is in your heart, then that's what comes out of your mouth. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And when the devil seeks to find where he can destroy you, all he can get is the word of God. And he don't want to hear that. You see, all he hears is a praise. All he hears is a worship. He doesn't want that. Amen. So the first thing he does is he tries to find a way to change it.
Yep.
And we have to be aware of the enemy's devices. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You notice that just before your greatest breakthrough, you run into the deepest part of hell.
Oh, yep.
The gates of hell, all of it, show up before you. And you ain't getting around it. I didn't know it was that long.
That's
okay?
Right.
How are we going to get up and over this?
That's
you know, the Bible says the gates of hell can't prevail. Perception, walk through those gates. Jesus already did it. He got the key.
Mm.
Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So let's keep going. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones,
right,
as you see here. In other words, she's saying, you know, your false evidence that appeared real,
mm-hmm,
is not true, because spirits don't have flesh and bones. In other words, the proof is here, not in what you perceive. Have a paradigm shift. Change your perceptions. Amen? And look at this, 40th verse. It says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Now, this is the problem. 41st verse. But while they still did not believe for joy. I'm trying to figure out, how do you not believe for joy? Maybe my mind don't work like that. But if I'm not believing, I'm not happy about it. Jesus is here in the midst, and they're looking, and they say, wait a minute, hold on, what's really going on here? Because everything that he said to them, everything that he's showing them, the Bible says, but while they still did not believe, their faith was not increased for joy. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
For joy says that they got happy that he's here, but they still don't believe it. These are the people who shout around the church, but their lives are still the same.
Still the same. Mm-hmm.
You came in from Day Day's house and say, Lord, save and heal me and forgive me. And the Lord does so. And you get up off the altar and you go outside. And while you go into the car, pick up your cell phone. Hey, Day Day. You see the problem? You had experience. You saw the proof. You felt the power, yet still you didn't believe. How we know? Your actions show. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
This is so simple, yet it's so hard. Mm-hmm. How do I live a holy life? You got to, well, first of all, repentance is when I say I'm sorry for what I've done or what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Then you turn from that.
Yeah.
In other words, if I was going this way, I got to go that way. If I was going north, I need to go south. If I was going east, I need to go west. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that you're sorry and then go right back to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're really not sorry then, are you?
Mm-mm.
Hmm? No. You want relief. I want that moral wash, but I'm not ready for that relief.
True.
So right back to the same situation, there you go. In the middle of it, you're saying, Lord, you're going to have to help me. He said, I've helped you so far, but now you got to help yourself. Lord, I wish we had time to get into that. We only got a couple of minutes left. Amen. See, the responsibility of what needs to be done. When I ask, what will you do with Jesus? You have to answer these questions yourself. Amen?
Yes.
Y'all see that? They did not believe for joy and marveled. And he said to them, have you any food here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice, there were times, John, the 4th chapter, 34th verse, he said, 33rd verse said, I have food that you know not of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then 34th verse says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It is finished. I'm hungry now. Jesus asked for something to eat. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence, brought them back to the fellowship and the communion that they had. Y'all see that? Jesus didn't just leave it there saying, eventually y'all gonna believe. The Bible says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, everything that you went through was for this moment in time. There's some things that we have dealt with, we have experienced in our lives. We ask God, Lord, why did we have to go through this? Why did this have to happen? Why did this occur? I don't understand, Lord. What's going on here? And the more that I've lived, the more that I've served, the longer that I've been in this, the more I learn not to ask the question, but to go through it. Down the road, when you look back, you'll understand it better when you look back. You'll see the work of the Lord, the handiwork of God. Amen. You'll see how the plan came together. God is the only one who can do one event and impact millions of lives to change several directions. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to impact one life by doing million things, and God has the ability to do one simple thing that impacts the lives of millions.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
His wisdom is beyond ours. His understanding, the way that his mind works, is so beyond ours. Amen? When he did all of this, he did this to remind them of who he was and the assignment. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
I came for a job. I did the job. Now you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Continue the work that I have started in the earth. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. and you are witnesses of these things. 49th verse says, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. All right? And see, that's where we start getting into Acts 2 and 4. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with Acts 2 and 4. I have a problem with people who stop at Acts 2 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
See, Acts 2 and 4 shows us it gives us a datum of what the Holy Spirit does and how he manifests. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. It gives us a beginning point of him and his actions. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who stop at Acts 2 and 4. And without that, there's nothing else that they can preach. Everything that they talk about comes back to an on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Okay, after that, what will you do?
Mm-hmm.
The question is still, what will you do with Jesus? I ask the question because the question needs to be asked. But greater than that, I ask the question because we need to come up with an answer that will satisfy the world today. People today, right now, are trying to figure out the best way to approach a Jesus that they don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
World religions are set up around belief systems.
Yes.
Okay? But all of them, when you look at them, have some type of belief in who Jesus is. If they don't have a belief in him specifically, they have a character or they have a person or they have an entity that fulfills his role.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all
That's
see
true.
That?
That's very true.
So the problem isn't Jesus. The problem is with perception of Jesus. And if we don't take time, those who have witnessed him, those who have handled him, those who have learned him, if we don't take time and really celebrate him, what do we have? What can we share with people who have a concept of salvation but don't know the Savior? Is it a theoretical, you know, entity, or is it a personage of Christ? We have to come down to those things. What will you do with Jesus? When I'll tell you what I'll do with them. I'll go out and demonstrate him. I'll testify of his goodness. I'll testify of his glory. I still remember, amen, what it was like when I first got really saved. And y'all know that word really right there means that there were many times in youth revivals and stuff. I was at the altar. I snotted out, cried out, my throat dry, my lips are chapped, cracking at the end. Okay, I know that's a visual. We learn how to put chapstick on and make it look pretty now. But back then, you know, we felt that you had to be ugly for Jesus. So I'll try to be just as ugly as I could get. Hey, man, some of y'all say, well, I ain't made it yet. I'm still a little ugly. Anyhow, don't matter. Thank God somebody like it. Amen. And I like it too. Amen. Anyhow, when I really got saved, it was when I had a real experience. Everything prior to that was people say, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I was trying to go. I was trying to go. I was trying to go. But when I was to myself and I was around saints who wasn't trying to get me to come on, they left me by myself, and they closed that circle, and I still remember being on the floor, both hands and knees in the fetal position, and the more that I tried to get up, the more the Holy Spirit brought me back to traveling on the turnpike and going around those mountains and being drunk and everything else and how I should have went off one of the sides easily. Brought me back to all those times I was running, trying to be a musician to make it on my own. And that was, see, you know, there were some things in my life that I used to do. Lord Jesus, help us all. I wasn't always this saved. Amen. I didn't always know him at this level. Amen. And some of y'all can testify and say the same thing. Amen, amen, amen. Huh? But while I was there, my encounter with him brought me to a reality of who he was. I just wrote a paper, and it's my personal ethics paper. And one of the things that I said there is I said, I am a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I'm following my mother or father. I'm not a Christian because I just happened to go to church and came up this way. I'm a Christian because I had an experience, and I've seen miracles, signs, and wonders perform in the name of Jesus, and many done by my own hand. I don't speak Swahili, so I couldn't tell people to respond a certain way. I could just pray for them in the name of Jesus. I still remember the lady, and the picture is up on our website, my hand on her head. But when she hit the ground, I was down at the other end. She's jumping up, and everybody, the altar field right now. I don't know why, until our spiritual son came and told us, Dad, you prayed for her. And she said, when I went down, I heard crack, crack, pop. She said that she started feeling her back and everything, and she didn't feel anything. She got up and started moving, and she started jumping. And when she started jumping, everyone knew that a miracle had just occurred because she had hurt herself working in the field. Her back was twisted. She had a disc in her back that were protruding and ruptured. She could hardly stand up, let alone move. I didn't know who that was. I just know the power of Jesus worked. In the name of Jesus, I was praying, and she was healed. So I'm not a Christian because I heard somebody say something. I'm a Christian because I've already experienced myself and seen the work in others. My experience allows me to have a valid testimony of him. So when I listen to people try to take apart who Jesus is, you know, by archaeological proof and everything else, I just laugh at them. You guys are religious. I'm relational. I know him. He works. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's give God a praise.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Maybe you who are listening, maybe you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins. You say, all that sounds good. And I really wish that I could experience him. Let me tell you, it's not difficult. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Simply put, salvation is free and simple.
Yeah.
We make it convoluted and you got to do this and do that and all the other. No, salvation is simple. After you get saved, then you need to learn how to start living a Christian life, a righteous, holy life. Amen?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, no matter who you are, it takes time to unlearn your lifestyle.
Yeah, it does.
Amen? Stop trying to be perfect and learn how to be forgiven. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, maybe you want to be saved. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, Lord, I pray for them that if they prayed that prayer, that you would lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry, a church where they can be fulfilled, where they can be developed and matured and go on to do the work that you called them to do. And I pray for those who are sick right now. I pray for those who need a touch in their body. Lord, you are a healer. By your stripes, we are healed, Lord. Thank you for taking the blows for me. Thank you, Lord, for the healing. I pray right now that the healing virtue will simply flow. I pray right now that it will manifest in their lives. I also pray, Lord, for resources. I pray for the churches that are covered by us, Lord, those ministries that are under our covering, Lord. You know every financial need. you know, every resource that's needed so that they can continue to do the work. Do it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this,
thank you.
We praise you, and we bless your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. Become a vision partner with us. I believe that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Helping others is a kingdom principle. Amen?
Amen.
So when you help us to help others, you're fulfilling one of the things that God gave us to do. Amen. One of the things that Jesus told us to do. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
And I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, reminding you that it's his will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Go on and do what God called you to do and enjoy your week. We look forward to seeing you on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Amen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.